freak. Easy.
Terrifying.
You got not a...
That was good.
Thanks. I'm kind of juiced.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
I'm really excited about this.
I'm really juiced.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I am going to be the host of this spin-off series brought to you by the Geek Easy Podcast.
You're sitting there, you're still going to host.
Even though I'm sitting here, okay. I'm still going to host.
All right. You know what? We're going to talk about horror movies, so we need to start getting into willing suspension of disbelief. So I'll go ahead and say this is okay.
This is really confusing to everybody that's just listening to the show. He's sitting in his normal seat instead of my seat, which is where John thinks he should be sitting.
That's
in order
the host
to host
chair.
That's the host chair. Yeah. Okay.
This is like Ed McMahon hosting the Tonight Show from the other side of the couch.
The ghost host.
All right. Well.
Oh, that coffee's hot.
Every time.
You okay, John?
I'm good. Okay. I'm excited. I'm glad, happy to be here, everybody. Thanks.
All right. For the next eight weeks, we are going to be talking about some of the most iconic horror movies, franchises, all the way up through Halloween. It's Halloween season.
That's
Can you
so
believe
awesome.
It's Halloween already?
I cannot
Can we talk
believe,
about that real quick?
I know. It came up so fast. But you know what? Like, I think like a lot of people, this time of year is so much fun, right?
Yes.
Like there's something special about fall and the Halloween season. Like, I love the Halloween holiday. I love Halloween decor. I love scary movies. I love the chilly nights. I love the hot cocoa. I love, you know, all of the stuff that leads up to winter is awesome.
Yep.
Right before all the blizzards come.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's, I do. I really enjoy that.
Yep.
So that's
and
awesome.
And there's just nothing that gets you in that mood.
Yeah.
Like, sitting on your couch, turning off the lights, and watching some scary movies.
Awesome.
Or so, some of these movies.
So we're going to start today. We're going to talk about the entire franchise of arguably the most iconic slasher film series of all time. I don't know if there's a more iconic.
I mean, I think arguments can be made, but this has got to be up there, right? Like, this.
I wanted to make a joke here and throw out a lame one, but I feel like no matter what I say, there's somebody going to be out there going,
yeah, right,
sure, yeah,
for sure. Today we're talking about Friday the 13th.
Ooh.
The entire franchise.
On Friday the 13th? What a perfect date for this.
What a perfect date. going ahead for the Freak Easy, we will not necessarily be covering entire franchises.
Right.
Because that's a lot of movies.
It was a lot of movies. Like, we sat down and marathoned most of these as much as we could. And it's already hard enough to do that with all of our individual busy schedules.
Right.
But we found a day to get together, eat some food all day, watch these movies, and we still didn't get through all of them together.
Well, when you have franchises that are 12 movies long.
Yeah. But it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so
much fun.
But like you were saying, we don't know if we can do that for every one of these episodes, but we've got a roadmap. We've got plans for
this. We've got some plans.
So.
And we wanted to kick off, it's Friday the 13th today.
Yep.
And we're talking about Friday the 13th, and we're kicking off this new series, this new mini-series of podcasts. That I hope we'll do every year around this time.
I think that'd be awesome. Hopefully everybody else out there enjoys it too, and they want to see us keep doing this.
Yep. So, Friday the 13th. I'm just going to give a quick overview of if anybody has not seen it out there.
Sure.
Or ever heard of it. It started in 1980 with the very first Friday the 13th. The most recent one was... Ooh, not on the list.
2009,
I
believe.
2009 for the most recent remake, the reboot. Yeah. There was a notable layoff from part 8. It's 12 movies. 12 movies overall, counting Freddy versus Jason, right?
Which counts,
yeah. We had a notable layoff from part 8 and 89 before we got Jason Goes to Hell in 93. And there was a lot that happened there because that was when it transferred from Paramount to New Line.
New Line Cinema.
New Line Cinemas bought it. And then there was another a bit of a layoff between Goes to Hell, because it was bad.
I was going to say, well, that's what...
And Chasing X, which was 2001.
What's funny is you get to that first notable layoff, and it's 4 years, which doesn't sound like that huge of a layoff between movies, but you got to remember, Part 1 came out in 80, and Part 8 came out in 89.
Yes.
So, yeah, at that point, 4 years is a pretty long time.
Yep, and the first... Yeah, because the first ones were almost every year. Part 1 was in 80, Part 2 was in 81, Part 3 was in 82, Part 4 was in 84, Part 4 was in 84, so they missed a year there. And then Part 5 was in 85, Part 6 was in 86, Part 7 was in 88, Part 8 was in 89. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty consistent up to that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They felt like they were back-to-back just like that. Yeah. And you can tell, too, once they start having those big gaps between them, something is changes. Different. Yeah. Something changes with them. So,
The basic idea... Right. Well, actually, you know, this one is really hard. A lot of horror movie franchises, it seems like the setup is the same. The basic idea is the same.
Right.
Right. You know, this one, like, you want to say that because we know that the basic idea, Jason Voorhees shows up, kills some campers.
Yeah. It depends on how much you want to boil down what the basic setup is.
Yeah. Because really, I feel like this is one of the ones that's the most varied when you really start to list through them.
Yeah.
Because Jason's not even the killer in the first one.
If you give a synopsis for the franchise, you can easily say, you know, hockey mask brute murders teenagers. Right. And that does cover every movie.
Yes.
But if you start getting synopsises for all the movies individually, they sound wildly different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like people, he becomes a zombie at one point. He starts off as like a... In the first one, it's his mom.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's doing all the
not
killing.
Even him.
He's not. Yeah. He's not even in it, except
sort of at the end. Maybe.
Sort of at the end. Maybe they kind of. Yeah. In the second one, he's hillbilly recluse roaming the woods in a
burlap sack
mask. with one eye hole.
Yeah.
You know. By the third one, he's got the hockey mask.
Mm-hmm.
They kill him in the fourth one. It's an imposter. He's not even in the fifth one again.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the sixth one, he comes back as a zombie. Then he fights a little girl with psychic powers in the seventh one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then by the eighth one, he goes to New York.
Yeah. The eighth one, he takes a vacation.
Yeah, he's still a zombie. Yeah. Goes to New York. In nine, he's doing like a weird body jumping thing for most of it.
So weird.
Just goes to hell.
Yeah.
Is this a good time to bring up Nine Sucks?
It's always a good time to bring up Nine Sucks.
Yeah.
Nine is so bad.
Yeah.
Nine, maybe worse than five.
I liked nine way less than five.
I don't disagree with that. I feel like I would need to watch them back to back to really make that determination. I'm not going to do that.
No, yeah.
We'll just go with they both suck.
That sounds like a miserable 3 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the overview of the franchise. We know the star.
Goes to space.
Antenny goes to space and becomes a cyborg. Yeah. Freddy versus
and then,
Jason.
And then in the last one, he becomes a reboot.
In the last one, he becomes a reboot. The reboot. The one in 2009
goes from murdering children to murdering childhoods.
Well, it's yes. Horror movies murder childhood. You shouldn't be in a childhood, right? When you're watching these.
How old were you when you started watching these?
I was gonna say sure. That's one thing that's really unique about. We could say this also about Nightmare on Elm Street, but man, it was crazy how Friday the 13th totally penetrated pop culture. And, like, it was everywhere. Yeah. Like, it was on TV all over the place. Like, kids were always talking about these movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There was a Nintendo game.
There were some form of toys in the stores. Like, I specifically remember these little water squirt ball toys that were shaped like Jason and Freddy in them.
Well, who didn't have a hockey mask?
Right. I mean,
not because they played hockey. Even by the time I was a kid, like, goalies didn't use that mask.
I was going to say, every Halloween, there were 1,000 kids running around as Jason because it was easy just to buy one of those plastic hockey masks and throw it on your face. And that was it. You were Jason. That's all you needed. I mean, it's one of those things that was just such a phenomenon. That's never going to be really recreated, I don't think. You know what I mean? There's something really special surrounding these movies. They kind of kickstarted this whole slasher thing. And the movies have never really been the same as these since. Like, you know, this and the Nightmares and a few other exceptions through the 80s, like, all followed this slasher format that definitely was started by these movies right here.
Yeah.
And it's like its own thing. You know, it exists in its own time capsule now. Yep. It's really crazy.
Now, there were, like, movies of this type that came, or, like, I think the first... like Texas Chainsaw Massacres and stuff were in the 70s, weren't they?
Well, I was going to say, like, there's probably, like, a bunch of people typing right now because I believe the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween came before.
All
right.
Yeah. That's fair.
Before the first
Which I was going to argue that especially the early Texas Chainsaw Massacres were so low budget and whatever that, like, they sort of, like, inspired, but this one really set a tone. I guess Halloween kind of had that tone already. Yeah. Halloween, we can give a lot of props to. It was like the grandfather, maybe.
Right?
But this
is—I would definitely not take anything away from those. But if we're strictly speaking from, like, pop culture status, especially as a kid in the 80s, I always heard about Jason. Yeah. I always heard about Freddy. I did not always hear about Michael Myers, or, you know what I mean? Like, it was a totally different beast when it came to Jason and Freddy.
100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's more to say on that, but we'll wait till we talk about the Halloweens before we get to that point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which might be coming. Ooh.
Who knows?
No spoilers.
Sharon knows. But nobody else knows.
So we've given kind of an overview of it. We've talked about, you know, one of the things that I have so many memories, like, wrapped up in these, watching them at slumber parties. I was not allowed to watch them at home. My mom didn't like horror movies. I wasn't really allowed to watch R-rated movies, especially violent R-rated movies. But man, I had friends that were, and every time I was at their house for a slumber party, sleepover, we were watching a Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, when I was old enough to watch, whether my mom wanted me to or not. man,
so
anytime,
like 3 years ago?
Yes. Like 3 years ago. Any time a Friday the 13th came up, my first thought was like, oh, it's Friday the 13th. I need to go watch like 7 of these movies at least.
Nice.
You know, like
nice.
I always wanted to marathon them. I think that's one thing that's a little bit unique to this franchise. It has its day.
Yeah.
I mean, even Halloween, I want to watch lots of other scary movies on Halloween. On Friday, every Friday the 13th, I just want to watch this franchise.
I think, and a lot of people do that. That's like a thing.
Plus, on a Halloween, you're busy.
Right.
You know, and on an average Friday the 13th, it's like, well, whatever Friday, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a lot easier to be like, oh, I want to go watch these movies because it's Friday than it is to be like, I don't want to go trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to sit here and watch Halloween.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing that I always want to bring up about these, and then I'll let you guys talk about some of your memories or whatever. Watching the movies themselves have such a, they feel so 80s, mm-hmm. right? They have such that nostalgic feel, like very few other movies, even movies that were made then that might feel 80s. I don't know. There's just something about the slasher movie, the Friday the 13th in particular, that when I watch that, I'm transported right back to that era. And I wasn't even super alive for that era. Don't get me wrong. Like I was born in 81. So, you know, like memories of that I caught most of them, but my memories of that are fady, are hazy.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a child of the 90s.
Yeah.
But when I watch these movies, I'm like, okay, I'm back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I love that about these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you go next, John.
You know, I don't have the childhood memories, a lot of these, and this, you know, most of these movies we're going to start talking about through this whole expansion podcast or what's the word I'm looking for? Offshoot.
Spinoff.
There we go. Podcast we're doing here are stuff that I went and picked up later for multiple reasons. I wasn't really restricted from watching almost anything except for horror movies. Yeah. And even then, like, I'm sure I could have gotten away with it if I really wanted to, but I didn't have any desire to whatsoever. Right. I was not a kid who was into stuff. Like, I would have scared easy or whatever. When I was through most of the 80s when these were coming out and stuff like that, and I just didn't have any desire to. And I knew people who watched them, but it wasn't like a thing that happened at every slumber party or anything like that. So usually if something was on around me, it was easy enough for me to avoid or ignore if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't into that stuff at all as a kid. And it was actually probably the Scream franchise that got me into slasher flicks in general. because of how much I loved that when it came out. But by then I was like 16 when, you know, when that, but so I went back and picked up some of those over the next, you know, decade and a half or so. But, my first Friday the 13th memory is actually, was watching Jason X in the theater. And it was, even then it was because I worked there. So I was getting paid to make sure the thing wasn't, you know, gonna light on fire and get scratched halfway through and whatever else and kind of run it through. So it wasn't anything like I had a desire to do. And by the time that movie was over, I was like, well, that was amazing. I hope they're all like this. And in a way they are. And in another way they're not.
Right.
You know?
That's a rough one to start with and then go back.
Because
it's good. Because it's good.
Exactly. Exactly. In its way. You know. And we'll get into more of that as we go through too. So I don't want to just jump right into how much I love Jason X. But that's my first memory of a Friday the 13th movie outside of going through pop culture and knowing who he was and having a hockey mask myself and a fake knife and whatever else. The first time I actually sat down and watched one start to finish, I was 20 or whatever. And at that point, I was hooked.
So I guess my whole experience is a very similar trajectory to John's because, like Jaren, I wasn't allowed to watch movies like this as a kid. So I didn't. I was very aware of them. I had lots of friends who loved these movies. So all of my experiences with Friday the 13th throughout childhood is just experiences with him being so relevant in pop culture and being everywhere. It didn't matter if you've never seen these movies. You knew who he was. You knew what he was about. You got the general premise of the whole thing. And it kind of stayed that way through most of my life leading up till now. Most of everything I've ever learned about this character is just from being so involved online and with the internet communities and stuff. Way before I saw these movies, I knew that Jason's mom was the focus of the first movie. Like, that was not a surprise to me by the time I saw it, you know? Like, I knew the movie was about her, that, and then he didn't show up till the second one, and that the hockey mask wasn't even there until later. Like, I knew all this before I even saw the movies because just being around it on the internet all the time. The first one of these movies I ever saw was Versus Freddy, and I saw that one in the theater. Or was it at Jason X? I saw Jason X in the theater too, and that came first. So that was my first Jason movie. And then I saw Versus Freddy. So those were my first actual Jason movies I saw were those two movies. And it wasn't until we got together to marathon these that I finally watched all those original movies.
Okay.
So I'm one of those guys who is now brand new, fresh to all of this.
That's awesome.
Because and it's not that I never wanted to. It's just that, I don't know, it's that thing that's always like, I need to watch that.
You're busy
watching
He-Man.
And I was too busy watching He-Man, and so I couldn't watch Jason. No, so we finally sat down and we watched it. Plus, it was the right setting, too. Like, this felt like one of those things I wanted to do with a bunch of friends. And just be together as a group and watch all these movies, because that certainly made it a lot more fun. So this was kind of my first real experience with all of these movies, except for those two later ones that had already come out. But other than that, it's weird because, regardless, they do still give me that nostalgic feeling that you were saying. And, you know, it really reminds me of early rental stores specifically. Because one of the things that always really sticks out in my mind about going to video rental stores as a kid is walking up and down the aisles, waiting for your mom and dad to pick movies, and looking at all of the boxes, the VHS boxes, and always kind of stumbling upon the section that's got all the horror movies, and then just looking at all of these slightly scary imagery on these VHS boxes and knowing you probably shouldn't really be looking at these, but not, but being like stuck to them. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny. Like, the box to Ghoulies will never leave my brain. Never. It's just ingrained there because that creepy little thing sitting in the toilet scared the crap out of me as a kid. And I don't know why, but like, Friday the 13th gives me that feeling, that like walking through the VHS store looking at tapes kind of feeling. For it's real weird, but
I don't even know if you need both of us for this show because we're just the same. Man, I can see that Ghoulies thing.
That is etched in my brain for life, really? And I don't know
and
why.
I've never actually watched Ghoulies.
I have. Yeah. We should do Ghoulies because those movies are dumb and they're so much fun. But as a kid, that was like one of those scare, like, oh my God. I don't want to sit on the toilet now.
I totally get what you're talking about with that. Because that's what I would go through the video stores and look at those specifically. I mean, I was, you know, but it was hard. Every aisle had a franchise, and even by then, they were, you know, 7-8 movies long, a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's not like you were just walking through, picking out the one, oh, here's a, you know.
Right.
It was long. And they were the only ones that had big franchises like that back then. You know, you might have one
or two action movies that
would have a sequel. Sometimes you'd come across some remakes from something like in the 40s, 50s that got remade already.
These horror movies were always low budget and they always profited.
And they were pumped out
so quick. They were so easy to quickly pump out. Yeah.
Yep. I think that's another reason why they carry such a feel of the time. Because they didn't take time to, like, let's adjust the aesthetics and, you know, let's make this try and feel timeless. Like, you know, some movies are like, you know, smooth off those edges.
Yeah.
These were just like, let's hire 8 teenagers that ain't got, you know, let's hire the 8 youngest actors we can find and just tell them bring their own clothes that we, let's not, you know what I mean? So they showed up and they shot it real quick and they were all real guerrilla style, you know, shooting until later on,
right,
just to get it done and get it out by next year.
Yep.
So awesome. So Danny, this is your first time through.
It was, yes.
So what was it like? I've seen all these movies, you know, each one of them except for like 5 and 2, 9. I try to avoid those. I've seen all the rest of them like a dozen times a piece minimum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What was it like for you first time through?
Man, it was a lot of fun, honestly. Like, I loved it. And I was really happy to see the story unfold because, you know, like I said, I knew a lot of the basics and a lot of the big plot points for a lot of these early movies. But when you just kind of know about it or read about it online, you kind of get your own mental images of how it probably looks.
Right.
So when you actually see it happen the way it happens, sometimes that could be a little jarring. And I want to specifically say that with the first Friday the 13th, because I knew that Pamela Voorhees was the killer.
Yep.
What I wasn't expecting was that we wouldn't even be introduced to this character until the last 10 minutes of the movie. And she would just immediately flip to, oh, what's going on here? I'm going to kill you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there was no... We didn't get, like, any introduction to this lady early on in the movie. There was never one of those things where we were like, oh, that old lady couldn't possibly be a killer. Oh, my God, she is.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing like that. Like, straight up, she rolled up at the end of the movie and was like, I'm Pamela Voorhees.
Yeah.
And then she started killing people.
Yeah. Well, first she goes in and talks about how everybody deserves it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because there's only one girl left by then.
So I was real surprised by that.
Right.
Because in my mind, it was always like, oh, well, it must be one of those surprise things. Like, oh, there's no way the old lady could be the one killing everybody.
Yep.
Oh, my God, she is.
Right.
You know, like, but no, that's just not what it was. Like, she straight pulled up in her little truck or whatever right at the end when there was only like one girl left at that point, right?
Yeah.
The last girl, and then tried to kill her and lost.
Yeah.
So
got a head chopped off.
Yeah. Right. So that I was not expecting that at all. But I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a real fun setup for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was real fun looking at these I mean, it was still very 70s looking at this point, right? Even though it was early 80s.
Well, it was 80.
Yeah,
it was 80,
so like, it, you know, like we...
the 70s didn't really go away to like...
Exactly.
Like 90, 82,
right.
83.
That's how decades always
right, are. Yeah. That's why the early 90s are still basically the 80s, right? So that was, I don't know, it was really fun to watch that. And then we got the big reveal at the end with
Jason jumping out of the water. You know what happened to her? She got cocky. She changed her formula.
Yeah.
She should have just kept hiding behind trees and stuff.
No joke, right?
Surprise somebody.
Yeah.
She was like, I'll just come out into the open for this one. Ah!
I really enjoyed watching the series kind of develop and figure out what it was as it was going. Because you can kind of tell as you're watching through the movies that they definitely started out to be something different than they turned into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like with the first three movies, they had like these kind of plot points laid out and maybe weren't necessarily expecting Jason to become the franchise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first movie was about Pamela, and then the second movie was, oh my God, Jason actually is still alive, so now he's going to avenge his mom. And then the third movie was like, Jason died at the end. And they kind of set up Corey Feldman, what's his character's
Tommy
name?
Jarvis.
Tommy Jarvis, to like, maybe he's going to turn into the next killer in this whole thing. But then they clearly didn't go that way after that, because by this point, everybody would love Jason, and Jason was the thing. And so then he just became the franchise after that.
They kept getting the numbers in on how much they were making from every movie, which again, I mean, not mind-blowing numbers, but when your movie costs, you know, $50,000 to make and you make $3 million off of it.
Right.
You know, or whatever, then you're great. And then after the, you know, the fourth one or the third one, when they were thinking about making a switch to Tommy, or the fourth one or whatever it was, then they started getting the returns on how many hockey masks they were moving.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
So
oh
it's
my
like,
gosh.
Well, maybe we can just keep going with this motif. I like you were saying, watching the different styles, when you go back and you think of something that's been in existence since your childhood as just the guy with a hockey mask running around, but then you go and start watching and you realize every one of these does sort of have its own thing going on for a while there. And I like going back and kind of figuring out like the whys, or when you read stories, or you've just told me a lot about like what was going on with the franchise and why those changes would be made, you know, 'cause things like, you know, like, well, in the first one it was a swerve, and then they wanted to make a second one, so they brought the kid in. And then by the third one, it kept going, but then they thought about changing it. And then Jason was so popular, they brought it back. But then like in five, you know, four, they killed him. And then five sucked and everybody hated it. And it only made 10 times its money instead of 25 times. So then they had to go back, but then they had to have a reason to bring him back. And then they wanted to do Freddy versus Jason, and they couldn't because they couldn't get the rights to do that. So they just made up like their own version of like Carrie and put her in a movie against him for one. And just like listening to all those stories and tracking the numbers and all that stuff like that, it's really, and especially considering all of these were coming out at breakneck speed. Because this is not a bunch of suits sitting around, you know, for 2 years going, well, how do we rejuvenate this franchise? This is, like you said, this is guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah.
This is the studio going, you know, whoever's got a camera and a truck and a fake knife, here's, you know, $100,000, get out there and make us a movie.
Right.
And they are clearly putting thought into it,
right,
which is super interesting.
Yeah.
Not always effort, but thought.
Well, and I'd say this is the main one that evolves that way, too. Mm-hmm. The Nightmare on Elm Street, they knew right away, and they were like, well, we're just going to do this over and over again.
Yeah.
The Halloweens, the first one was so good.
Mm-hmm.
They were constantly trying to recreate that and re-grab that magic.
I mean, inarguably the best slasher flick.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. But this franchise is the only one that evolves and changes so much. I mean, it really does. Like, it goes, Jason Voorhees goes from being the dead kid in the lake to the hillbilly to the, you know, psychopath in a hockey mask to dead to a zombie to a zombie three times.
To fighting
a little girl with superpowers to being in space and being half a, you know, half a cyborg.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, he's really the only one that changes so drastically, and every story changes so drastically.
Yeah. I wonder, when one of the notes I wrote too for part three, since we're just kind of talking about that real quick, with the hockey mask, I was wondering if they knew that was like the look when they did that. Like, if they had any idea when they put him in that hockey mask that was going to become like the iconic look for the character, or if that was just
something just laying around.
Yeah, like if it was just something like I always want, and there probably is a story behind that. I'm sure if I look that up, I could find it. But it was just something that really stuck out to me when like there's that moment where he grabs that hockey mask and puts it on, and looking at it now, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, here we go. Now he's Jason, you know?
Right.
But, like, at the time, like, I wonder if people knew. Like, I wonder when the audience first saw that for the first time, was their reaction, like, that? Was it instantly, like, this is the character now. Like, that's the look. That's the iconic look for the character.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about.
It's definitely interesting to think about.
Yeah.
I think it probably was. I mean, by that time, you know, I think probably by that time they were under the assumption that, because that was the third one.
Right.
You know, so by the time you greenlight three of these things, you're like, well, unless this thing just flops, we're going to make a right. couple more of these at least.
Right.
You know, by then we had Michael Myers.
Right.
Had some, and his mask was so iconic. I think they probably
they wanted
were
to
like,
give him an iconic
like,
look.
This is our guy.
Okay, yeah,
we
gotcha.
Need something. Now gotcha. I don't know that for yeah. sure. That was just my assumption from watching the movies yeah. and thinking about the timelines.
They weren't moving burlap sacks like they thought they would, so they had to switch it up somehow.
Nobody bought this burlap yeah. sack. It's only got one hole in it.
I was going to say, there's just a bunch of people at the burlap sack store, wherever you buy those, going, these things all have holes in them.
Yeah. Nobody wanted one. We can't even sell them as burlap sacks because they got a hole in them. you know, we talk so much about how it changes every time. I feel like they do a real good job in this one, in this franchise of... I don't feel sorry for most of the people who get killed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good thing
yeah,
or a bad thing.
Yeah.
The desensitization that my mom always warned me about while I wasn't allowed to watch it. I don't know.
Well, but
these kids are always...
to human beings. You were desensitized to these people.
Right.
You know?
They always show up and, you know, there's always, you know, what, six to eight
yeah.
teenage young adults, you know, and five and a half of them are just deplorable human beings
yes.
for various reasons.
Yeah.
So you just can't wait for Jason to come pick them off. I feel like every time I watch through this, it's a different experience in that I notice somebody else. You know, like different people. I remember different people each time I watch through and I'm like, man, I can't wait for this person to die. You know,
yeah.
I don't remember noticing that this girl was such a sleazebag before. I can't wait for her to kiss that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like I have that experience with different people in
yeah.
every movie.
And that's the argument I've heard about, you know, the lessons you can learn from these movies or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
they talk about it like in the Screams and stuff like that. It's like the
yeah.
people who are getting murdered, which is everyone in these movies,
right.
are usually the terrible people. And that's sort of the, you know, the allegory that they make there is like, well,
say,
don't
like,
do all these bad things because if you do, Creepy Jason's going to murder you.
Right. The surviving girl at the end is usually always
the pure
innocent
yeah.
one, right?
Yeah. yeah. Or the one person who's tolerable
yeah.
in the
yeah.
movie. And that's what was going to be my point is like, I'm sure there were a few. I mean, I watched over 100 people get murdered through these movies, like for sure. A few of them had to be like, oh man, them
yeah.
probably, but I can't think of a single one.
Right.
Just looking back over them, you
yeah.
know?
The only one I was worried about getting killed, the only one that really made me mad was Muffin in part two, which was the dog. Because he straight up killed that dog.
Yeah.
But then the dog magically
came back to life at the end, yeah.
and there was no explanation for it because that dog was definitely dead.
Right.
But at the end of the end, it was just like, Muffin! And I was like, huh? Okay. I guess the dog's
yeah.
back.
I would say test audiences probably didn't approve, and that's the reason.
And so
however,
they just threw
no
the dog
reason,
back in at the end?
There's no reason they tested these. Right.
right?
There's no way.
yeah.
You know, like, they don't have time to film it, edit it, and test it.
Right.
They gotta get this thing out.
It's shot in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Start shooting 3 weeks before the release date. Yeah, it's not going to test.
When do we pencil in the focus groups? You're fired.
Do you have any other notes you wanted to share?
Not on that particular subject.
Okay.
Wait, so you were talking about kind of like favorite characters or
that's what I was going to move on to.
Okay.
We were just kind of doing, you know, just having just watched it if anything
sure.
stood out. John, did anything stand out to you? Watching through them this time?
You know, nothing in particular except for, like, learning more of the back
yeah.
history every time you go through because I just... And some of it's probably stuff I learned once and then forgot and I get to relearn it, which
right.
is just as fun. But that's the most fun, I think, to me of the franchise as a whole is figuring out the mindset going from like right. movie to movie. And so I always just enjoy learning more about that. But yeah. nothing, there was no one like fact I learned this time through or scene that I saw differently or anything like that.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's move on then, because I did want to talk about our favorite characters who are not the villain. So so I want to talk about anybody who stood out, anybody you remember. There's so many characters, and we know that the star of the franchise is Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
But there are so many other characters. And some of them, I like some a lot of them. Yeah. You know, I just talked about not caring about, you know, how many of them die. But there's a few in each movie that do a decent job of making me not want them to die. So who were some of your guys' favorite characters?
I'm going to let you guys mostly talk about this one, because I had a real hard time like remembering specific people.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys have a few, so I feel like you can fill this in.
Well, and that's the other thing with the series, too, is when you look back, unless you're specifically writing them down as you go, or unless it's like one of the like the main characters from each movie.
Or if you've seen them all a dozen times.
Well, but if you've only seen him a couple of times and you start to look back through the history of him, a lot of these movies, everybody kind of looks the same.
Yeah.
A lot of them act similar because they always have, you know, the jerk who was a jock and the jerk who was a stoner and the jerk who was a Nazi and, you know, whatever else that goes through. Most of my standouts are from X, and that's because they were so comical. Like, that movie's as much comedy.
I was
like, it
say,
knows exactly what
X is so over the top, you know? But in like just the best ways.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, even though you can take those archetypes and put them on some of these people because they were college students in space, but it still played totally
in
different.
Space.
But I was a big fan of like the sergeant or whoever he was, like the guy who was leading like the space marines.
Yep.
In X, like, he was awesome because he had a bunch of great one-liners even as he was being murdered a couple of times.
Right.
And he was super hardcore. And I liked the girl that got pulled from the past into the future.
Yep.
She was a good character. And then going back through the old ones, I remember liking the telekinetic girl, but I don't have like a lot of. That's kind of like one of the, like, pick one out of the first nine or so.
Yeah.
I can look back at her, but I don't have, like, a strong bond with her or anything like that.
I can almost say the same thing for, like, Tommy Jarvis, just because he's, like, he was a reoccurring character in three movies.
Yeah.
So you almost want to be like, Tommy Jarvis, except, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't that exciting.
Well, and I feel like I liked him when he was Corey Feldman.
Yeah, like the kid.
Because when it's a kid fighting Jason, like, man, that's all sorts of like. If that was the only movie Tommy had been in, I'd be able to look at that character easily from that one and be like, man, that kid was like rough and tumble. And that was great. But then he was in more movies and was just one of
it was
the
a little,
people again.
A little jarring that it was a different actor every time.
Yeah.
Like, back to back to back, they recast him. And, like, I get it. He was a kid in the first one, and then they did a time jump, so he had to be older, so that made sense. But then they didn't even use the same guy for the next one after that, you know, and he looked completely different. So
then they had the fun of explaining to the audience that this is the same guy.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing that I meant to have written down, but the timeline of these movies is all crazy. When you really go back and look, because there's a couple
like
big
500 years.
Well, there. Well, but there's a couple big jumps there to where when he's in Manhattan, it should actually be, I believe, like post 9/11 when
when
he's in Manhattan. Well, because they do. I mean, we're only talking, you know, 1 year jumps for the movies, but like Tommy Jarvis in 1 year, that's why they couldn't use Corey Feldman, because they made four, like, or they made five, like the year after they made four.
Right.
You know, and he was supposed to have jumped like 5 years.
Yeah.
And then it was supposed to be, then there's like another, because he's in his early 20s when he comes back in six.
Right.
So there's like a couple 10 year jumps. And then there's like a 7 year jump from the beginning of seven to the end of seven.
That is crazy.
So
I was gonna say too, like, I feel like there is a is references, and I don't know if they actually date any of them, but I feel like when they're doing that thing at the beginning of a bunch of them where they're telling the story of mm-hmm. Jason murdering this whole camp, there's like references to it being a long time ago.
Right.
And you never know if that's the original story that was a long time ago or the last time he did it
yeah.
was a
yeah.
long time ago. But yeah. either way, it's like they're, and you can't measure them, yep. but they make it feel like there's a long time between each right. movie.
So I'm always really partial. The big sister in part four is just a good one, but the big sister in part four is I want to say she's like the least horror movie heroine
mm-hmm.
while still being a horror movie heroine.
Yeah.
You know, like she doesn't, it's not like she's strong and smart and gets out of everything, but you don't look at her going, you never run yelling like, no, don't run upstairs. Like, yeah. when she runs upstairs, like, she kind of has to, you know?
Right,
yeah. She's not as damsel in distress as...
Yeah, you know, and she spends a lot of time trying to, like, to protect Corey Feldman, who is Tommy Jarvis in that one, you mm-hmm. know? So she spends a lot of time doing that and trying to escape, trying to be smart, not just run around and not get stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
But she's always one of my favorite characters. And I feel like she's one I rediscover every time I get to four. Like every time four comes up, I'm like, and I kind of forget how good four is. And Danny was mentioning this time, kind of like that's where it feels like they kind of nail it.
Yeah. Yes, I wrote that down specifically. Part four feels like they nailed down the formula.
And I always think Feldman's the third one, so I always bounce my timelines around.
Yeah, that's because two and not that they like two and three kind of. I don't want to say blend, but they blend.
Yeah.
You almost forget there's you forget there's three movies from two to four.
Yeah.
For sure. Nothing really important. Like he gets the hockey mask in three, but nothing really important happens in three. Like it's the one that's the most like
it's
we're doing
3D.
We're doing this again. Oh yeah, it is the one in 3D.
Because that's the I wrote down like all kinds of. Yeah, like the eyeball pop was in that one. Yeah. The 3D eyeball.
Yeah, so they do all that like, stuff. Yeah, it stands out so bad. Oh, yeah.
I wrote down the spear gun that he's using. Yeah. I also wrote down casual Jason, which I don't know exactly what that means. Apparently he was acting casual, and I wrote that down.
Oh, I just assumed he was in jeans.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was in jeans.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe
you know, three is the one, like he walks out of the hospital and,
yeah.
and like some other... Or maybe that's four.
They're all bleeding
now,
together.
Yeah,
now.
See this one bleeds together. See, nothing happens in three. Three is the one where we are really just like, oh, we're doing this again.
Yeah.
You know, like four
Because three had a gimmick.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So
they didn't need a script.
Right.
They just
there's no characters that stand out. It's just back to the camp, back to Jason, back to we'll give him a hockey mask. It does have those bikers that get killed. I'm always so excited when those bikers.
Hey, that's a good segue.
That is a good segue. So
the people
next
that we wanted to see die.
Yeah, the people that we want to see die. I always want to see those bikers. There's three of them, and they are so 80s bikers. They're obnoxious, and they like pick on the kids in the. They run into them at a convenience store for no reason, and pick on. You know, the two main characters or whatever, and then track them back. Oh, no. Well, they go outside and they steal their gas.
Oh, yeah.
The kids steal their gas. So, like, then the bikers track them back and Jason murders them in a barn. It's
yeah.
the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. But the one character who always stands out to me is, like, I just cannot wait to see this guy die is in part eight, Jason Takes Manhattan. Like the, I don't know if he's the principal or the teacher, but he's like the headmaster of the school group
yeah.
that's on this
cruise,
river cruise,
yeah. river, lake, river,
the lake,
whatever,
yeah,
cruise,
the lake
whatever
river cruise
oh,
that ends up in Manhattan Harbor.
Oh boy,
yeah. That one's so bad.
Everything about it makes all the sense.
Oh boy.
Well, but then I'm always upset because his death is super disappointing too. Like you wait the whole movie for this dude to get killed, but then he just gets drowned in. You know, one of the oil drums of toxic waste that they just keep in alleys in New York.
That's a thing, bro. You didn't
yeah,
know?
I didn't
know. I like when you're watching eight and you're like, man, it does not get any worse than this. And then you pop in nine and nine's like, hold my beer.
The one person I specifically wrote down throughout all these movies I can't wait until this guy dies, was Teddy in part four.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, okay, there's a bunch of straight up jerks in these movies, but there was something like just about this guy specifically that I was like, done with him. He's going to be fun to watch die. Yeah. I can't wait. Like, he was the one that was like finding the reels of the old porn and getting real excited about it and watching it and just being a real weirdo the entire movie. Yep. Just over the top obnoxious. Like, I mean, obviously they set that guy up to be one of those guys that we wanted to see die. Boy, did it work on me. Because I was just like, after all these movies, he's the first one I'm actually going, come on, Jason.
Right.
Get this guy.
For sure.
Well, and it's because a lot of times it is. I mean, it's just movies with archetypes over and over again.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of the weird, creepy pervert.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, you know, it'll be nice to see him die. There's a lot of the over the top jock D-bag.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right, it'll always be good to see him die. But it's when you find those standouts that just grate you the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
I would say the main jerk in the newest one, which granted probably is just because it's freshest in my mind.
Yeah.
It's the last one I watched. Yeah. But that guy, like from the get-go, like even when he wasn't being a terrible jerk, he was being a terrible jerk.
He was way over the top with his like
he was,
a-holeness, right?
Exactly.
Like,
They set him up.
Yep.
Hoyt Ambrose. they set him up good, man. He was just so, don't touch that. Don't break that.
Yep.
Watch out. That's
my
dad's first kill.
Yeah. He's my house.
Yep. He's that perfect, despicable mix of like absolute jerk and total just.
Like, why was any of those people hanging out with that dude?
Yeah.
Like, he was just awful to everybody around him.
Because his dad owned the cabin.
Yeah.
Not all that sweet maker's mark in it, did.
Yeah. That's how you know you hit it big.
So, we've talked about all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a favorite movie? Of the franchise.
Of the franchise.
Mine's X all the way.
X all the way. Man,
X is good, man.
That is way up there on my list, too.
X is like, I appreciate the ones of these that took themselves seriously, and some of those are pretty good. For sure. There's definitely other ones I liked beyond this one, but this one is just the absolute perfect mix of knowing exactly what it is and bringing that to you from the low budget. I mean, it looks like a sci-fi movie when it starts, like the channel, not the genre.
Right.
You know, it just comes in and you're like,
are you talking about the CGI? Because the CGI was like top of the line when it came out, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. But I'm more talking about like the costumes and stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And some of the set pieces and stuff like that. Because you walk in, you know, you watch this movie and you're like, there's no way I just paid $8 for this or whatever movies were in, you know, when that came out. And the characters are so over the top, like they want you to know and recognize these as like Friday the 13th archetypes, but they're in space.
Right.
But they're also just wearing like just the weirdest outfits.
Well, it's such a like a 90s future.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like basically like they picked out their space outfits by going into the like the hottest club that was open latest.
Right.
You know? And they're like, whatever kids are wearing these days, that's probably what they'll be wearing in the future.
Yeah.
Oh,
but then the mix of some pretty awesome deaths in there, like when he freezes that chick and then just blows her head up on that thing, like, that's fantastic. And then they mix the comedy in real well, more than probably any of these others do. I think they do that, which on the one hand, if they did this in one of the if they tried to make 9 super funny,
right,
I would have hated every joke. But I dug what they were doing here, and they all landed. When the when that sergeant guy is getting murdered, like Jason stabs him through a wall, and this spike just comes through like his rib cage, and he's like, "It's gonna take more than a little poke in the ribs to take this old dog down." And then he stabs him a second time. He just goes, "Yep, that ought to do it." And there's multiple versions of that in there, and I got the gore factor I wanted, I got the camp factor I wanted, and I got some awesome one-liners thrown in there to go with it. And then at the end, I got Cyborg Jason.
Yeah.
You know, mowing through a spaceship.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was so much fun. I had so much fun watching that movie. So my favorite is one we've already talked about a ton on this episode. So I think it's a no-brainer that it's a standout for everybody. But mine is probably going to be part four as my overall favorite. It was real fun watching the setup of this franchise, 1, 2, and 3. And then 4 really did feel like the turning point for the entire franchise. Like, when they got to part 4, they knew exactly what it was. They knew the formula. They knew what they were doing. And it's the first time, since I was watching these for the first time, that's the first movie that I watched where I was like, this right here is exactly what was in my brain when I was thinking about what a Friday the 13th movie looks like.
Right.
So it just really stood out to me. The characters were fun. We've already talked about the Tommy Jarvis stuff and the big sister and all of that. So that I just really kind of look at that as being like almost one of the definitive movies in this entire franchise. And it just stands out to me even after watching Jason X and all those other really fun ones at the end. I still go back to this as being like a classic Jason movie.
Yeah. The other thing I think worth mentioning about 4, it's the one with the least downtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other a lot of them kind of have this thing where they have a few kills in the beginning to set us up and kind of remind us that we're watching a Friday the 13th.
Right.
And then there will kind of be a stretch in the middle where, you know, they're setting up for like a big kill spree at the end.
Right.
Like all that in the middle is boring. You know, even when they're like kind of doing some jump scares and showing Jason, you know, maybe they see Jason's, you know, in the woods and they're like, oh, I think somebody's out there. And of course, some idiot's like, eh, that's impossible. We're 100 miles from anybody. You know, or they tell this backstory, whatever. You know, like, it just starts to drag, like, almost to the point, by the time the kill spree starts, you're like, can we go now?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But this one, I think, keeps one of the best paces.
I agree.
Through the whole thing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My favorite, though, has always been, I say always, my favorite is part 6.
6.
Yeah, that's the one where he comes, that's the one where he first comes back as a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the
Tommy
it's,
and Horshack electrocute him into reanimation.
Yes, yes. It's got the I laugh every time because they do the James Bond opening where like they zoom in on his
eye. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And he walks out and slashes.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the other things I wrote down for part 6 is that Jason trolls people before he murders them because he always does things like cutting the power off.
Yeah.
What's going on? And then the murders start happening. Like that really started happening in part 6.
Yeah,
I feel
sure.
like, but it became a thing after that.
Yeah.
Like because then he's doing things like cutting the power off or like I love like when he just like randomly hangs his victims up for people to find like in crazy places right before he mows them down.
Right.
Like it's like what? Like all of a sudden this has become a game for him, you know?
Yeah, like 6 sort of started to become just a little bit meta.
Yeah.
You know,
just
had that twinge of, you know, like at this point, like we've made some and we took them kind of seriously, but now it's like, well, now we're going back to Jason. He's a zombie now. We know what we are at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll do some. And that's kind of because then 7 is like, all right, let's fight another superpower. And then 8 and 9 are like, okay, people who don't really like movies bought the rights to us.
Right.
And are just trying to cash in, and they're awful. And then 10, honestly, 10 was probably the same thing. It just worked that time. But it's like it's got the same thing as 10, where like it sort of knows what it is,
yeah,
and it's going for it, you mm-hmm. know, to a much lesser degree, obviously, because it still tries to also make a Friday the 13th movie out of it. But.
Well, it's also the only time we see somebody hunting, like somebody who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the only time in the franchise where Tommy Jarvis, you know, even in 5, when he's like a kid, for most of the movie, he's thinking that he's wondering if it's him, you know, if he's going crazy and he's doing these, and some people are accusing him of that. That movie is so bad.
5.
5 is so bad.
The one without Jason in it?
The one without Jason.
The other one without Jason.
Yeah, the other one without Jason in it.
With the imposter Jason.
The imposter Jason, yeah.
But so this one, in this one, he's full on, like he's coming to make sure Jason is dead and accidentally brings him back to life, but he knows he's back to life.
Yeah.
You know?
And when what he is. 9's got a Jason Hunter.
It's got that 9?
Isn't that the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Man, that's...
That's bad. Just wanted to bring 9 back into the mix.
He's body jumping.
The body jumping thing.
Mine is the body jumping one. So bad.
I didn't like that either.
So bad. You know, they I've heard the creators talk about that one where they're trying to, and they're like, oh, we wanted to take Jason away for most of the movie so that when you get him back at the end, it's like a reward. I'm like, no.
It didn't work.
Sorry. Nothing in that movie was a reward.
Nothing in that movie. Seeing the Necronomicon.
All right, that's fair.
That was the one. And that was also, we got the Necronomicon. That's where they started to try and build
Necronomicon
like some,
and the credits. Those were the rewards.
Freddy's glove.
Yeah.
Because at the end, he gets dragged to hell. And at the very last thing is we see the mask in the sand and Freddy's glove pulls it down. Yep. Yeah. So like that, those two moments are not worth watching that movie for. But if you've watched that movie, you're like, oh, well, at least I got to see that. Oh, God, that movie's bad. He hands her that knife. He hands her that chick's like a relative of the Voorhees, and he hands her that knife, and it turns into like a sword.
Yeah.
That movie's so bad. That movie is so bad.
Oh, man.
Ugh, so dumb.
But Six was great.
Six was great. I love Six. That's my favorite. So, we've talked about our favorite movies. We've talked about all the characters. Here's what we came for, guys. What's your favorite kill?
Oh,
there's some great ones.
Yeah,
one of my favorites. My honorable mention is in Six, and in Six there's the cop who's like the dad, and he keeps trying to run Tommy Jarvis out of town, and he's such a I can't tell if he's a bad actor. He's a bad actor, but he is on like 10. Like the first time we see him, Tommy Jarvis comes running into the police station screaming for help, and the dude jumps up and pulls his gun on this kid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like that just sets the stage for this guy's
teenager
character.
Needs help. Shoot him.
Yeah, right. It's not like he came running in like he came running in screaming for help, and he jumps right. He's asleep. And he jumps right up and pulls his gun, and he's like, "Oh, you don't know what you." And it's just like, "Come on, man!" But then he's like a pro wrestler. Every scene he's in, he screams and yells. It's just bad. When he gets folded in half. By Jason.
Oh man, like that's
a good kill. Yeah. But I think my favorite kill is actually in Three. Like I talk a lot of trash about that movie. The wheelchair kid.
He just gets
macheted right in the face. It kind of, and then he rolls backwards down the stairs.
Yeah.
I guess our favorite, you know, we shouldn't be laughing at the kills, but like I laugh every time.
Oh, you should be laughing.
I laugh
at
every
the kills.
Time.
I mean, they're kind of built that way. Yeah. You know, they definitely.
If you're taking those kills seriously, you can't watch over 100 of them.
I was going to say.
Fair call.
Because that plays into my favorite kill. Like, and I know that this one's iconic and memorable.
Real quick on the wheelchair kid, though. Also, clearly the producer's favorite kill for the next, like, six movies.
We saw that one every
because they keep replaying it.
Every time they're telling
it.
The story of Jason, that kid's rolling down the stairs.
You're right. They kept replaying it. In part 7 is the sleeping bag kill.
Yeah.
Where he picks up that sleeping bag with that girl in it and just bangs it into the tree. And there's just something about that that I just... It makes me laugh.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Because it's awesome.
Well, I mean, he just baseball swings her into the tree.
Yep.
And like out of every kill, that's the one that's always in my mind. So
it was hilarious when Jason did it to that chick in the sleeping bag. It was hilarious when the Big Show did it to Rey Mysterio. It is always hilarious when somebody just gets swung into something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they even called back to it in Jason X because he did it to those girls, but then repeatedly beat her over the other girl.
Yep. Which is probably my runner-up for favorite kill is probably that one right there. And he was just killing two virtual reality people.
Yeah.
But when they do that scene where they're trying to stall him in this like holodeck that they've got built.
Yeah.
And these two girls just appear out of nowhere and proposition him. And then the next time you see him...
Well, it is a fun scene before, not to stop, but that setup is cool because that's the first time we see Crystal Lake in that one.
Yeah.
Really see Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's that cool moment because they render Crystal Lake. And so we kind of get that moment where he stops and he's like, am I at home?
Yeah.
You know, and you get that that for a minute. I'm like, that's cool.
For sure.
That's super cool. But then,
they flash back to the people trying to get the door open or whatever. And then they come back to Jason and those chicks are in the sleeping bag and one of them's on the ground and he is just overhead swinging and pounding the other one. into it, and you can just hear them going, ow, 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 whatever.
So and
then,
amazing.
And then they come back out, and the android whose head is, who's been decapitated already and is plugged into another machine is running the simulation and is watching Jason going, wow, he's good. It's fantastic. But I honestly think my favorite kill out of the whole thing, and it was because it was so unexpected, and it's a dumb movie, and it was probably a dumb kill, and it wasn't even Jason. But at the beginning of 5, when they're setting all that stuff up, and they're at that, you know, the because they're at a mental institution or whatever for that, and they've got this this kid who is going up and talking to everybody and annoying everybody, and he goes up to this other guy who's just sitting there like swinging an axe, chopping wood, and he annoys that guy for a while, and then gets mad because the guy won't talk to him, and yells at him, and starts to walk away, and then that guy just gets up and murders the heck out of this dude, and I did not see that coming. And
chops him up with an axe.
Yeah. Just in front of everybody, and just takes it to him, and it's one of those. Every time I watch that movie, I forget that's going to happen, and so we were watching it again too, and I kept because you sit there at the beginning of these, you know, I'm always like, you know, so I've probably seen most of them around 3, maybe 4 times after this viewing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always sitting around like, which one is this one? How does it get going? What's the crux here? What are we getting into? And I'm not waiting for that to happen at all because we haven't got to the Jason stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, dude's murdered.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, guys, over the 12 movie franchise, we actually have a total of 195 kills.
Wow.
195 deaths.
Wow.
Now that's including accidents and your non-Jason deaths.
Yeah.
There's 195.
Does that include 2 virtual reality deaths?
I would assume. Okay. I would assume they count those. Because ultimately, Jason ends up with the credit for 157 of those kills.
Wow. That's a lot more non-Jason deaths than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I would really be interested to see what those are.
See the non-Jason deaths?
Yeah.
This
is like 40-some of them, didn't you say? No.
Yeah, that would be, because there was 190, so. Yeah.
Well, 32? We're at 157. If he gets 157 out of 195.
Okay, so yeah.
So, yeah, I'd have to... It'd be interesting to go back and see what all those were. But we're not going to do that because we're going to move on.
Well, I guess all of the first movie.
That's true. All of the first movie.
Think about that.
So. Yeah. All of the first
movie. And all of the fifth one.
Oh, those wouldn't be him, too.
I bet he doesn't get credit for those.
That'd be fake Jason.
I bet they don't give him credit for those. Good job.
You did it, John.
Super sleuth.
Detective. Right. Detective John.
Well, guys, any final thoughts on the franchise? I think that's right. We did a full kill count. You can't say much more than that.
No, yeah, that's exactly.
Awesome. This is
that'll be my favorite part when we get to Halloween and we've done a bunch of these is checking to see who
compare them all.
Murdering. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that for sure.
I loved them. I had so much fun watching them.
Yep.
The campiness is one of the things that makes it so special. And I love you brought this up the other day when we were talking, like campiness.
Yeah.
You kind of wondered if the word campiness even is derived a little bit from these movies because of the camp setting. Yep. And that's I had never thought about it before, but that's amazing to think about.
In my mind, that's where that term comes from.
That's
from
awesome.
These movies.
That's so awesome.
You almost want to look it up, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. That's the perfect definition for me. And
everybody who knows the real definition is typing in the
That's fine. Yeah, they can tell us all they want to. It's fine.
Tweet it to me.
But
I won't read it.
You know, we watched the last one we watched was the remake from 2009 and I really did not like that movie. I didn't like the way they modernized the movie and turned it into the more modern kind of horror movie you see with like Jason wasn't just going around and like killing people. Like most of the time when Jason killed people, it was like one shot kills, right?
Yes,
he was out to murder people and we got some fun, creative ways to kill people. But what I didn't like about this movie was that he was doing the things where he was like stabbing them multiple times with a knife so that we got to see all these nasty shots of a blade going through somebody in very uncomfortable places. Or, you know, like they almost did that torture porn kind of thing, which with these a lot of the early 2000s horror movies were, and that didn't feel like it fit with Friday the 13th. Like that movie was really missing something, and part of that something was the campiness of these old movies.
Yep, absolutely,
that movie is not fun to watch.
Right. Yep.
the other movies are as bad as the other movies can be, at least we can enjoy them and laugh at them and, you know, just have a good time together. And I don't feel like I get that out of the remake at all. Yep.
Did have another great sleeping bag death. That was totally brutal.
Oh, man, that was brutal. When they hung her over the fire?
Yeah, that was brutal.
Oh, man, yeah.
Just cooked her. But overall, yeah, you're right. And the funny thing is, because I don't think I've seen this more than since it's been in theater, so it's probably been a decade since I've watched this, and I remembered liking it a lot more than I ended up liking it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, like you said, I don't think I ever marathoned it all the way through this one before.
Right.
And seeing this in conjunction with all the rest of them, you know,
feels so out of place with them.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, even their Jason. I don't like their Jason because he feels like some regular dude. Yeah. He doesn't
Like, that part's fine because they're kind of going back to the beginning and he's not like a super zombie thing or anything. Except that he's not like a regular. Like, they play it off like he's a regular guy, but then he's still everywhere at once.
Yeah.
He can still go from being at a shed 100 yards from the house to being on the roof in a second.
He teleported everywhere, like over the top teleporting. Yep. And we were talking about this while we were watching.
He's a big guy that can just jump off a roof like a cat.
Yeah.
Which is not a Jason thing. You know? Like, Jason was never like, he would sneak by just being there, but he would never like sneak. You know?
Like, there was that part where, like, all of a sudden he's just standing on the roof looking down at her, like, out of nowhere. Yeah. And then at the very end, like, they did the thing where they dropped him in the lake and we watched his mask fall down slowly. And it was a neat visual, I guess. And it was separate. But then 2 seconds later, he's popping back up out of the water with the mask on. And it's like, okay, if you're going to completely take the camp out of these movies, this stuff isn't fun.
Yep, right.
Like, it just makes us criticize it more. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's one of those issues where the standard I always go by, like, create your world and then live in your world, you know?
Yeah.
So if your world is this weird, campy 80s slasher franchise, even the ones that are pretty awful, you know, you just kind of let that stuff go and you hope you're having a good time while doing it. But then when they modernize it and then try to turn it into this modern thing, and I don't mind them going back and like taking the supernatural part away, because if you're talking about recreating the franchise from the beginning, because the basically like the first 20-25 minutes of this movie was like the prologue,
right?
Yeah.
And that was basically parts 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know, because showed you the flashback, and the flashback was 1, and then you got that camp scene where he killed all those kids, and that was kind of 2, and then 3 starts with the actual cast, and that's the new movie, and he gets the mask and all that stuff. So I'm fine with him not being like supernatural zombie anymore, but you can't have both, like, he's just a regular guy who happens to be like super, you know, like very strong and can murder all these kids. And have him be the guy who just shows up everywhere. Because, like, in that scene towards the end where he's getting at the end, where, like, he's at the shed, and then all of a sudden he's on the roof, and then he's stabbing a cop right outside the house at the front door, and then he's upstairs inside the house again. And all of this is within, like, a 3-minute, like, period of actual movie time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it was
so
crazy.
It's bad.
I didn't like the hair, and I didn't like how he was just wearing like an open flannel shirt and like
wife beater
underneath. And like, he just, I don't know, man. Like, even pre-Supernatural Jason in those early movies still had a presence about him that this guy was totally lacking.
Yep.
Totally lacking.
And, you know, they did that, like, he just kidnaps a chick and keeps her alive.
That didn't make any sense. Why?
Well, like, they did something where, like, he had the mother's locket,
or
she did, or whatever. But it's still, that's bad.
Like,
you know?
That one time
that's
when
not
she,
enough.
They and there did was that. No, they didn't explain it.
They didn't explain it.
They just let us assume because she found it, and then she wasn't dead, and then she had it, and so you're just like,
Most absurd random teleporting parts was where she spent all that time escaping and running and getting to the house. And then when she's finally running to the house, he basically just bumps behind her and grabs her. And then suddenly she's just back in his house again.
Chained up again,
which was so far away from where they were. Because the very next scene, he's murdering somebody again. And it's just like, man, this is like, it's so over the top that it's not even fun to watch.
They did that bit when the two main characters like first see him and they're like hiding under the boats, like at his house or whatever.
Yeah.
And he kind of notices they're there and then goes crazy just like that. Like, it just felt very un-Jason.
Yes.
Like, Jason doesn't get mad and start knocking stuff over because he can't find somebody. Jason knows where you are and is behind you.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. See, look, now we've turned into the complaint about the reboot. podcast.
Well, because when they're terrible,
it's terrible.
Yeah. It was bad. We're not complaining about it
because it's a reboot. We're complaining about it because it sucks.
Well, no, it does. It's bad. For sure. I did not like it at all. So, yeah.
Well, guys, the rumors have been for a long time that we were going to get another reboot in 2020.
Oh, yeah?
But that is not happening.
It's not happening.
Everything I found today said that it was not happening. Apparently, this year or last year, the rights reverted.
There's a lot of licensing issues going on with Jason right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I was reading.
It's affected a lot of things like the video game and the toys and everything. Yeah. So there's been some stuff going on. Uh-huh.
But that video game I wanted to bring up that video game a little bit because it's super popular. I've never played it.
I haven't either. I need to play it. Yep. It's on all the home consoles now. Yeah. So I need to get it. It's even on Switch now. So it's on everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I need to just download it and play it.
Yeah.
Because it's an online only game. You have to play with other people online. But the premise just looks so fun.
Yeah.
It's one person's Jason and everybody else is campers.
Yep.
And the whole idea is that you got to try to escape. But if you're Jason, your goal is to kill everybody.
Right.
And then I love the way
they randomly generate it
every time. So you either show up as Jason or one of the counselors. And then they throw in all kinds of fun things in there. Like you can find his house, which has got the shrine to Pamela. You can put on the sweater to distract him if you get the sweater. The first person that gets killed every round has the option to come back as Tommy Jarvis. And he's the only one in the game that can kill Jason. So if you're Tommy Jarvis, your goal becomes to kill Jason.
Yeah.
Like there's so many fun things they do with it that it looks like a really fun game.
Yeah.
It's the perfect way to turn something like this into a video game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like they finally
as we discussed, like these movies, like they're a lot of fun regardless, but man, they're tons of fun in a group setting.
Right.
Well, they make a group video game out of it.
Yeah.
For sure. Did you guys ever play the old Nintendo game?
Yeah.
I loved it.
When it was the new Nintendo game.
It's iconic at this point. Like, it's so funny how purple suit Jason with the teal blue mask has just gotten so, like, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
Because of NES Jason, that's the way he looked. And like they've made action figures based off of that look. He's just like, that's a thing now, like NES Jason. Yep. In fact, it's one of the skins you can get in the new video game.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
The NES skin Jason.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I loved that game. I was so bad at it. I don't think I was ever not lost in that game.
Yeah.
I must have played that game on and off. Like I never owned it, but I rented it all the time, and I must have played that game off and on consistently for like 5 years. I think I actually fought Jason like 3 times.
Uh-huh.
So
I know, but it was one of the iconic,
but I never got tired of that game. Like I was always,
you know,
trying
a lot of people
to
love it. Yeah. You know, and like it's fun too, because like we live in this world now where there's all these retro video game YouTube channels, and that's one of the more iconic early episodes of Angry Video Game Nerd talking about that game.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of great, like, you can get on there now and look at walkthroughs on the right way to play that game. And, like if you know what you're doing in that game, that game is very playable and very, like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those games where, like, you know, I think it kind of falls in that Nintendo hard category where you didn't always have explanations for what you were supposed to be doing back then. You just had to figure it out.
There's some stuff you just had to straight up intuit.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, so, awesome.
Well, so many ways. You know, it's a great, great point to end on talking about the video game.
Uh-huh.
Because since we're not getting a reboot, it's great that something's keeping that character alive.
Exactly.
Now, he's so iconic and he's so popular and has been for so long. I can't believe we won't get another movie soon.
Sure. At some point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But so you can be sure that just like in his franchise, his 12 franchise appearances, Jason will be back, and we will be back.
Yes, we will.
Next week with another Freakeasy.
All right.
We're going to be discussing the first two Hellraisers, Hellraiser and Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
I am really excited because I've never seen these either.
Yep.
This whole podcast thing that we're doing with the Freakeasy is going to be my excuse to finally watch a lot of these classic horror movies that I've never sat down to watch.
Awesome.
So I am so excited for the Hellraisers.
Yep. So those are the two, just a quick little reasoning. Those are the two that Clive Barker was directly involved in.
Uh-huh.
He wrote and directed the first one, and he helped write the second one. And then they kind of veer off. So we may talk a little bit. I've seen many of them. I love horror movies.
But we're going to focus. If you want
to follow along, we're going to focus on the first two. So if you want to watch the first two this week, we'll be talking about them next week.
Yep. Excellent.
And I tell you what, too. If there's anything in that franchise you would really want our take on, or a particular one you would want us to bring up or anything like that, if you guys want to get involved in the show, leave us a comment, tweet us, or put something on Facebook that we can see. And, you know, if everybody really wants to see us talk about Seven, we'll do 1, 2, and 7, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you for joining us, guys. We will see you next week. You can catch our regular Geek Easy podcast every other Wednesday right here on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you prefer the audio format, we are on whatever Apple's whatever Apple's app is going to be, whatever it is now, whatever
iTunes?
It's going to be
iTunes question mark?
Yeah. iTunes for a little bit until it's not iTunes anymore. We're also on Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts. Am I missing any of the big
Google
ones?
Google Play.
We are definitely on Google Play.
Yep.
You can find us there for the audio versions.
Sweet
guys. Have fun. I loved it. I'm super excited. Happy Halloween, everybody.
All right. Yes.
Happy Friday the
13th. Happy Friday the 13th. Made me look like an idiot, John.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.